Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 2 verse 8 says, "Again a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." Somebody say amen. Because the darkness is what? And the true light is already shining. Now, I'm sure you people know that the word of God is alive. Okay? And is for every moment. Now, this word is a rhema word for this moment we are living in right now. The darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Praise the Lord. And we are carriers of that light. Glory to God. Because there has been darkness, and the darkness felt like it would swallow up the light. And some people, especially the people of darkness, had a sense, I've always had this sense of superiority over the light. But now, we are going to put them to flight. No, actually, we are already in the process of putting them to flight, praise the Lord. And now they are going to know that the darkness is passing away and the light is shining now. Amen. And now when the light shines, there will be no place for the people of darkness. They will have to find some place to go and hide themselves. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because you see, there was a time way back in my Christian walk when everything that I planned, when something good is about to happen, when you're planning something, you make an allowance for the devil might mess it up here and there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And because you've seen frustrations, you've seen yourself on the brink of something and then it doesn't happen. And then you're on the brink of another thing, then it doesn't happen. So you kind of get discouraged and your spirit goes low. And now even when somebody comes and tells you something good is happening, and I remember I used to see so many people in that state, when the Lord had long taken me out of it, and people would come to see me and you tell them, this and this is going to happen, then he looks at you, I says, "You pray for me that it happens." I said, "But I've told you it's going to happen." But you see, because everything you tell, every good thing you tell them, they see that the devil is lurking around the corner and is going to frustrate it. And of course, that was their experience speaking. And for some time, of course, like because they made allowance for him, he actually successfully messed them up so many times and divert something and what. And then people come up with theologies to justify that. I remember somebody preaching about, you know, the story of Joseph. And says, now you see, you have to be very careful the things you believe. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, be careful how you hear. He did not just say what you hear, but also how you hear. Because something can be said, and somebody perceives it in a very positive way, and that he runs with that. And somebody perceives it in a negative way, and he runs with that also. And they end up in different destinations from the same word. That's why he says, be careful how you hear. Now, I remember some guy came up and was preaching that you see now Joseph came and told Pharaoh that there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine afterwards. Then he says, that's the word of God. If you have a lot of money now, you know that famine is coming. Now imagine you believe that. Do you see why it is so dangerous to get scriptures from the Old Testament without proper discernment and bring it into the New Testament? So now you know. So now you believe it. And now it becomes a reality in your experience. Not because there is any truth to it. That was Pharaoh's message, not yours. Amen? But then I said, I remember because it came out of somebody whom I have some respect for. So I said, no, but there's a direct word here from Paul to the church, which does not need interpretation, unlike Old Testament. The Old Testament was written for you. The New Testament was written to you. Okay? So it's directly to you. So there's no... So now I said, but the word said here that, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. That doesn't give allowance for 7 years of famine. You understand? Eh? So now he said, no. But he says always having all sufficiency for all things. You may have an abundance for every good work. You imagine such a scripture. Now imagine you believe that. The other person believes the other one. Then in a few years, your experiences are totally different. For you, there is not a single moment of famine in your life. For him, he has to prepare for what? For famine. Now, the reason we used to prepare for the devil to come and that is because of the teaching. Okay? Because of the teaching, somebody tells you that no. Even if something good is happening in your life, get ready. You are going to fight. A great and effective door has been opened for me. But many are the what? Yes, that's the Bible. And the adversaries are there. But they are there to be trampled on. How can you live life without adversaries? Won't you be bored? The adversaries are for your entertainment. Amen? Not to bring you down. Don't you see even people manufacturing enemies? My haters. Eh? Haters might say this is Photoshop. And you look and say, who hates you? You're nobody. But you see, people even manufacture haters. So now, the enemies are there, adversaries are there. We are not saying they are not there. But they are there for your entertainment. Okay? Otherwise, how are you going to have fun? Imagine if you just, everything came like there's nobody fighting you. You will not even value it. You understand? You have to value something because of somehow what you went through to get it, isn't it? And so now, the adversaries. But now some people will say, a great and effective door has been opened for me. But many are the adversaries. And then you stick on the adversaries. There are many adversaries. Then another person will read the same scripture and see the great and effective door. Great and effective door. It says adversaries. And those ones will deal with them later. The great and effective door. Now, be careful how you hear. Because it's the same scripture. It is there. In 1 Corinthians 16:9. But somebody sees it in a totally different way because adversaries have to be there. The devil has to be there for entertainment. Don't you like entertainment? That's what he's there for. Now, okay, let me tell you. You see, you have to understand this. That there is something that the Lord has set out for us in this time to manifest. That's why he says that. In Colossians chapter 2, start from verse 14. Colossians, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, amen, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Go ahead. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now, of course, if you read this today, it sounds weird. I mean, he made a public spectacle having done this. But I'm telling you, the people who read this in the time of the Colossians understood what Paul was talking about. Because they lived in the Roman Empire. And in the Roman Empire, there is something they did to conquered kings. Now, when the empire was expanding, they would go and conquer territory and they would get the king. And now when they get the king, they would make a public spectacle of him in front of his people. And now the way they would do it is they would tie his hands and he would kneel on like a board which had wheels under. Okay? And he would kneel on it and they would tie him and bind him and do like, and that's a king. And then they ride him with horses in front, dragging him. Not his knees on the ground, but on that board. And they drag him through the whole city. And the purpose of it was to show these people that your king has been conquered. Now you are under the Roman Empire. So it was to demoralize. It was to show them that the person you are listening to, here he is. He's a nobody. And they would do it. Sometimes they would strip him naked. Not entirely. They were a bit decent. But they would leave some loins on him. But basically, strip him there, and just to demonstrate to all his, and they would do that through all the cities where he was king. And everybody sees that now this is the king. And now, usually, all of them just gave up and just moved on and knew that
there is no more resistance. And now the public spectacles for two reasons. Because they would also bring the king to Rome and do that to him in Rome. To show the Romans that your kingdom is so strong, we've captured another person. And here he is. Now, when he says that Jesus disarmed the devil and made a public spectacle of him, what he means is that after the cross, when the devil thought he had won by stripping Jesus and putting him on the cross, after the resurrection, when Jesus comes out triumphant, he goes to hell and makes a spectacle of the devil in front of all the demons and shows them that this is your guy, he is defeated. Okay? And he demonstrates to them that he comes, you know, the scripture says he descended into hell, you know that. And it says that he took the keys of hell, of heads and of death from the devil, you know that. But now, it says having he made a public spectacle of him to show him to all, because the devil, when he fell with some angels. So there were some people who thought he was, you know, something. But now Jesus demonstrated to them that here is your guy. Now triumphing over public spectacle. In other words, showing you as defeated and as conquered and as vanquished and as no resistance left. Because by the time they tie up a king, you know that there is no resistance, isn't it? So now, this is it. Now, when you understand that it does not stop here, go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter... So now, Paul, having grown up, of course, in the Roman Empire, he writes sometimes using their language, even in the scripture, the language of the Roman Empire. And it is effective for that reason. So he says, start from verse 8. He says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, listen to the language he's using, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, there are some people who want to search out the riches of Christ. Okay? By trying to search out the riches of those who believe in him. But he says the unsearchable riches of what? Christ. So there are some riches which are unsearchable. Praise the Lord. And they are not subject to any theory. They are unsearchable. Searchable riches of Christ. And you know, you encounter this all the time, somebody saying, but what do you do? How can you do this? And they are trying to search the unsearchable riches of what? Do you know what my occupation is? Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my occupation. That unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, he says, go ahead. And then he says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, what he is saying is this. The word manifold means, you first go to the other previous scripture. I want you to, the other one, Colossians 2:15. I want you to give it to us in Amplified. Amplified brings it out better. 2:15. Start from 14. Having cancelled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note, the bond. In other words, somebody, you owe somebody something and it is written somewhere. Okay? And then they come and cancel it out. I'll tell you a story which happened in Nairobi one day. There was this traffic cop who was stopping cars and all cars which had all sorts of things with them. And he was making them park at the roadside. So you'd stop a car, ask this, do you have what, this? Then he writes down the number in his book. And then all of them parked there. After some time, there were so many cars parked, about 30 cars parked there, which had all been impounded by the policeman. Now, one street boy came who was very sharp. He came from car to car and told them that, you give me little money, I'm going to sort you out. So they asked him, how are you going to sort you out? How are you going to sort us out? He said, don't worry, you just give me the money. So he went through them, collected some, of course, gave some, didn't give. But he went through them and collected some amount of money. When he felt he had had enough, the street boy just went and grabbed the notebook of the traffic cop and ran away with it. And all the cars started and took off. Because now the handwriting of requirement had been what? Wiped away. Now this is what it means. Because the guy has written your number there, but the street kid just came and snatched the book, ran into some trench and disappeared. And the traffic cop was stranded. He had no pen, he had no paper. He had nowhere to write. So one by one, all the cars started and started taking off. So now this is what it means, that blotted out the note, okay? The bond with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us. So you have, or you had, or we had something standing against you. But now he comes and writes it all away, and now there is no record. Imagine, and now they were telling me this happened, because I speeched about it sometime on radio, and somebody who lives abroad was telling me that money has been disappearing off accounts of people. And this is a plan by New World Order, I know, but my point is, imagine you had a date, and then there is a cyber attack, and then the bank loses all its records. Then suddenly, hey, you are debt free. Now this is what Jesus did. Okay? So he canceled everything. So there is nothing. So now you go to the bank, they don't know. Even if they know, they don't know. So you go there and say, Abraham to Kuvanja. You say, that you're the one who knows that. Show me the evidence. And they don't have any. So you walk away scot-free. Now, this is what he says. Legal decrees, which I also, this note with its regulations, decrees and demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of our way by nailing it to the cross. Now go to verse 15. God, it should have been Jesus, disarmed the principalities and powers that were arranged against us and made a bold display and a public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, that is in the cross. I think that one brings it out better. Okay? A public display. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Something I want to bring out here. The next verse, verse 9. He says, and to make all people see, what is the fellowship of the mystery? You know now, he talks about the mystery, fellowship of the mystery. What is the mystery? Fellowship of mystery. Now, mystery, you know what a mystery is? A mystery is, what is a mystery? Eh? Something that is hidden. Eh? Eh? Something that you can't know. That cannot be explained. Okay. That's a bit true. But the real meaning of a mystery is something which flies in the face of logic. Okay? Or which goes against logic. For instance, if you wanted to get rich, and I told you that save money, accumulate, start a business, that's not mystery. But if I tell you, get everything you have and sow it, and you will get rich, that is what? Because it flies in the face of logic. It goes against logic. You understand? So now mystery is something which cannot be explained logically. Because actually it counters logic. It faces the different direction from logic. So now he says, see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God. You imagine there's this mystery which has been hidden in God. And elsewhere he says that angels wanted to see what mystery this is. And then he says even the prophets of old were told that the things you're talking about are not for you, but for people who will come after you. And those people are us. But then, now for us, we are trying to look back at them. Yet for them, they were looking forward to what? To what we have. Now, that mystery which says has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. Go ahead. To the intent that now the manifold means something that unfolds in many ways. Okay? Different ways of unfolding. Now, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities. Now, in other words, having disarmed the devil and stripped him and publicly humiliated him, now he gave it to the church to show, to keep the devil publicly humiliated. You understand? And all his servants. And he said now the church is the one which is going to demonstrate this. So now he gave all his victory to me. Everything he did. He says, now it is yours. Now, you're supposed to keep the devil paraded like this. But because sometimes of wrong teaching, he creeps back slowly and starts taking control. And now, having done this, he gave the church his name. Now, the people don't understand, because when you tell people that, they think his name is just for casting out demons. What a small use of such a powerful name. That is, so they think, in the name of Jesus, Genda, Furuma, what? Yes. But the purpose of it is to demonstrate to all his servants on earth that you are superior to them. You understand? So if there is any servant of the devil lording it over you, Jesus is looking at you and saying, now really, you are supposed to show my wisdom to the world. You are the one I was trusting to show the world why I did what I did. You understand? Because it says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, the devil didn't know what he was doing, but the Lord knew what he was doing. Now, it is up to us to actually now impose it. Okay? Imagine if you were a rich person who has big estates, and you died, and you left your children everything they need, in your opinion, everything in terms of wealth that they need to last a lifetime. Then some servant comes and creeps in, changes land titles, changes, business what. And after some time, imagine if you could see and you are dead and you're seeing now your servants, your children whom you worked hard for are servants. And servants are what? Are owning your property. Now, I'm putting it in very lay terms really. That's how the Lord feels when you do not manifest his victory on earth. It's like he's saying you're supposed to show the world that I conquered that guy. Now, these servants of the devil, they come when they are small. Let me tell you, it has to get through to you. This is what I'm telling you here. For you to start something and walk without making any allowance for the devil. There is no allowance. He's tied. He's bound. They made a public spectacle of him. He's not supposed to be an influence or a factor. He's not even supposed to. Nowhere. The only place he's supposed to come is when you're casting him out of some people. Then you go, and doesn't mean just that. Because now, you find even in workplaces, people who serve that fallen angel, who was stripped, imposing it over children of God. And now the Lord, I'm putting this in simple terms, in human terms. So, permit me. The Lord feels the way you would feel if you see your son, whom you worked so hard for, slashing the compound of a servant, yet you left him all the property. Then the Lord says, now really, I gave you it says in 1 Peter, his divine power, 1 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. All things that pertain to life and to godliness. Now, the only reason the devil can actually frustrate you is because you make an allowance for him. And I'm telling you the honest truth is there was a time I used to do that. I start something and I'm saying, ha. You even wait for the time somebody is going to show up to frustrate it. And guess what? They actually do. And now somebody came to me the other day and he was very, very concerned about somebody who was trying to mess him up. Some work and so on. And had pulled some move. You know those moves which servants of devils. By the way, they don't even have to be active servants of the devil. Anything that stands in your way is what? That's it. Don't see thieves. See the devil. There is one thief. These other ones are just his spiritual what? Sons. So why do you deal with this, the small one, when you can deal with the big one? You understand? Eh? You don't deal with small ones. Now, I have a brother of mine who told me that he went and made a mistake. And I've told you this story, I think, before. If I have to pretend that I have not. Now, he went and gave some guy money to do some work for him. But the guy he gave the money was a known Mufere. A known Mufere. Everybody knew him as a Mufere, and nobody would dare give him money for anything. But my brother didn't know, so he went and gave him money. So the guy took the money and, of course, did not deliver what he was supposed to deliver. And it was a considerable amount of money. So he tried all, these other things. He went to police. When he went to police and he told them, they even laughed at him. They said, so you mean you are so stupid to give that man money? Don't waste our time. You mean you don't know the man is a mufere? You know somebody who has a reputation where you cannot even report him. Even the policemen laugh at you. So they said, you mean you didn't know the guy? And they said, don't waste our time. And then he said, I don't want to lose this money. So he did something which you should do. He went to the spiritual father of Bafiri. And he told me that he went and prayed and said, Satan, you are not going to steal my money. Forget about this one. No, for me, I'm dealing with the other one who was paraded. This one was not paraded. Okay, he's just working through these people. You understand? Eh? So don't deal with small. Go to the top. Can you imagine that guy was paraded? He's working through New World Order, Bill Gates and what? Why do you deal with those? Go to the top. You understand? So he went and said, you are not going to steal my money. I want my money back. He claimed the money. After some time, the man called him when he was very angry. He said, you man, come here very fast. Come very fast. So he ran to his office, to his shop. He had some shop somewhere there. He ran there. And the guy counted out the money for him, said, take your money, go away, I don't want to see you again. What? And then my brother said, I don't know what he saw. I think his spiritual father told him, man, that one don't steal his money. That one knows that I was paraded as a loser. And he got back his money from a renowned muferi. So, sometimes you have to know the source of all this. So, somebody comes and tells me that, you know, this guy is trying to frustrate me and what? And he was really, really concerned. I want to see you. Papa, will you be in office? I said, yeah, you come. I'll be there. Now, he came, put his phones down. Now there's this guy. Then he told me. Then I laughed. Then I said, don't worry. That one is nothing is going to come out of it. Then he laughed. Then I laughed. Then he said, but you are taking it very lightly. I don't know the person. I even picked prophetically that was some lady who was trying to. I don't know the lady. But for me, I know the spiritual father of who? Of all people who frustrate the work of God. We shall deal with the other one who was paraded. Okay? And then God said, now it is up to the judge to show his manifold wisdom. Because imagine he comes to you and says, but you know you're not perfect. You know, and I know he plays on people's sake, by the way. Some Nigerian was saying that what? That if you are going for spiritual warfare, make sure you confessed every known sin. I said, look at these people. It is not, it is the name. In the spirit, you just have to mention the name. They know whom you're talking about. And they know that you carry that name. Do you understand? In the name of Jesus. And they see you have him. By the way, let me tell you. When Jesus went there, Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, when Jesus went there to strip him, now, when you come, he sees the other guy who conquered him. You understand? Eh? And he's scared of you until he realizes you're scared of him. Then he says, this one doesn't know. This one doesn't know that I was paraded. Then he hammers you. And yet, when the first time he sees you, he says, this is the guy I remember. Remember, there is no time in the spirit. Eh? So he says, I remember what you did to me, you. But you know Jesus is you. You understand? Eh? That's why he says, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is not no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, these are spiritual facts. These are not just suggestions. Okay? So when he says Christ lives in me, when you go, the devil sees Christ. That's what he sees. And he remembers what they did to him. He says, Then he realizes, so you are running. He says, He doesn't know. He does not know. And of course, because you've listened to some things where he has been made very big and so on. So now I'm here to tell you that make no allowance for the devil in anything. Nothing. Like, he has no power. Your work, Jesus is depending on you to show his manifold wisdom to the world. This one comes, you conquer them. This one comes with the power, you put them down. Get on top. Make sure you're on top. Then he says, now this one understands. This one is demonstrating. Remember, you're not demonstrating it to human beings. You're demonstrating it to the demonic powers. That was the idea. That you become a demonstrator of Jesus' victory to all the demonic powers. And then it is enforced here on earth. And Jesus says, I gave you my name. What do you need? I mean, Let me tell you. First, go back there. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God. Now, you know, some of these scriptures, this Bible, these translations, try to oversimplify things. But you go to the Old King James. Here it says, by the faith in the Son of God. But in the King James, it says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now that is different. Faith in the Son of God is different from faith of the Son of God. Can you imagine Jesus even gave you his faith? You understand? The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in. We know you have that. But now you are saying faith of the Son of God. So you approach things with the same faith that Jesus would approach them. Of course, it's a journey. You get there. But the point is, there's a scripture here which gives you that right to approach things the way he would approach them. Then he says, who loved me and gave himself for me. So now, this the issue we have with these things is, you know, sometimes people read a scripture and they try to embellish it with all sorts of religion. And they don't know that all these things which are spoken like this are spiritual facts. That they are actually like that. So it is no longer you who live. Now, I remember I used to read this long time ago. And I say, I wish I get to that level like Paul. Where I can also say that what? I no longer live, but it is Christ. No, the minute I got saved, I was already there. The only qualification is what? Receiving him. Now that becomes a fact. Now what is left is for you to demonstrate it on the earth. So don't try to disqualify yourself that I don't have this. Like the other person, if you are going to cast out a demon, first make sure that you've said, are you kidding me? Is the devil going to flee because of me? No. I mean, because of my supposed belief in my righteousness? No. It is the name. That's all. You try it. You who thinks you're righteous, go and confess all your sins. Then try to chase a demon without using the name of Jesus. If you don't end up like the sons of Sceva. It has nothing to do with what? With who? With you. You understand? It has everything to do. It's like a traffic cop going and dressing like me and stopping a car. Nobody's going to stop. People stop because they see his uniform. The minute he takes off his uniform, he's nobody. He's just a hitchhiker looking for a lift. So what distinguishes him is how he dresses. That's what makes people stop when he waves. Because behind that uniform is the power of government, is the law, is what you understand. So he's a representation of something. So when he stops you, you stop. Because you know what is behind that uniform. Now, when you use the name of Jesus, you're carrying a whole kingdom behind you, which is unlike any kingdom. You understand? And the devil knows what you're carrying and who you're representing. And he has to flee unless he starts seeing, you're not steady. It seems you don't know what happened that time. You were not there when I was paraded. You were actually there. Okay, because he says, and gave himself for me. Go ahead. The next verse, 21. Go to Old King James. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now that is very, very, very powerful. Now I'm telling you, there are so many people here. Imagine now, Jesus, everything you need, you just have to set up and go and move. But you're scared. You're frustrating the grace of God. His divine power has given you everything that you need, but you're frustrating it. I just want this. Of course, we've been through that all through our lives. Until at some stage you wake up and say, you know what? If I'm ever actually going to do anything of value, I'm going to know whom I represent and what kingdom is behind me. Okay? I have a whole kingdom behind me, the kingdom of God. And there is nobody who can stand before me regardless because of who is behind me. Just like the traffic cop with his uniform has a whole government and law behind him. So if he gets you, and if you refuse to stop, and he writes down your number, unless you have a street boy as sharp as the other guy, he will bring the full force of the law on you. That's why you stop. Now, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, I know that so many people are experts at frustrating the grace of God. And that they do that because either they are too mindful of the things of this world. And by the things, I don't mean things. I mean the ways of this world. And that manifests itself in so many different ways of being mindful of the things of this world. Praise the Lord. That manifests itself in so many ways. I remember a time when I knew that if there's anything, somebody would call me and say, is anything you want? Do you know anybody who can help me do this? I knew numbers of people in different places and what. So I would call and say, I'm so and so. And then somehow you find somebody to help. You know that. Until the Lord took that away completely. So now I'm not mindful of anybody I know. I approach them as somebody representing the kingdom of God. I don't say, oinayo mtu gomanyi mu polisi. Motoka yange baji kute, so you also call. No. If that happened, I would go there with my face. Okay? And I would command, I would mess them up in the spirit. That's all I have. The other one over, I know somebody's number, who is good. I don't have those numbers anymore. And I don't even value them at all. Okay? There's a time you meet somebody of importance, then he gives you his number. I say, then you go and propose. I have so and so's number. For what reason? I have the name. You understand? That sorts everything. I don't need anybody's number. Nobody at all. Praise the Lord. So now you see, the devil attacks you in a certain way where you start valuing certain things more than you value what you have in him. So you become mindful of the things of the world. Very mindful of them. There's a way systems work, you know. Very cognizant of, I know so and so. I know what. And now somebody else is building his rapport in another area, in the spirit. And he's going to come and overtake you with your phone numbers. And they are not going to help you whatsoever. Amen? That's one of the first things the Lord stripped of me completely. And it took almost 2 years of me being nowhere. Even the people whom you know, you call them, they don't pick you up. Because there is no substance in you. You're there broke. You don't seem to know where you're going. You're not adding any value. So they even stop picking your phone. Then the Lord first removes all the would-be value of the world. Then now he gives you value. Praise the Lord. He gives you his value. That's all that matters. And so now, as long as you're still so mindful of these things, you will not know what you're actually carrying. You will go and approach a job interview and you don't know that you can actually carry the kingdom of God there and say, I'm taking this job because I am... By the way, let me tell you, you ask, you find people there. Is he born again? No, he's not. That one is out. Are you born again? No. Are you born again? So we are only 2 born again people. So it's between us 2. Because, you understand? You actually... You can have this consciousness in you and it is so ingrained in you that you know that there is nobody of the world who can vanquish you at all. At all. So even you enter in fields where people are scared. Did you hear what he said? And you look at them and say, who said? Who is he in the kingdom of God? Where does he stand in this kingdom? If he's not there, I don't know him. I don't care about his worldly titles. I don't. So now, something enters you and you actually know that I am here to show the manifold. Because you see, he uses people to frustrate you. You start come up with this, something shows up. And then you start fighting somebody. No, go to his spiritual father of the frustrators. There's one spiritual father of thieves, one spiritual father of frustrators, one spiritual father of liars. You understand? Eh? Deal with the spiritual father. This one, the spirit will depart from him. And suddenly somebody will become your friend who was your enemy. And you see so many people fight their wars in the flesh. And you don't see success. Because you don't know what you have. And the devil knows that you don't know. And then he says, okay, this one was not there when I was stripped. So So do not frustrate the grace of God. And by frustrate, it means God is trying to push you into big things. And you, I'm comfortable here. The enemy of, the biggest frustrator of the grace of God is comfort. Something you got by miracle 1 year ago and you don't want to let go of it. For 5 years later, you're still holding on to that thing. And you're frustrating the grace of God because that same grace wants to take you to the next level and the next level and the next level. But you're scared to depart from here. But you know, you have to leave some place to arrive at another place. Praise the Lord. Do you understand that? So you don't fear. There's nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing to fear. Because if, and by the way, so you have to know the people who come into your life. Now I'm just speaking things here as the Lord brings them to my, there are people who come into your life. There's a gentleman whom I used to have in my life who was a very good person, a very, very nice person. We became very good friends. He was somebody whom you could ask for help and even inconvenience every once in a while, and he was okay with it. And if I ever counted good friends, that guy was one of them. Until one time I dreamt, and in the dream the Lord was telling me that he is in your life to waste your time. Then I realized that he would come with a very good business idea. Very good. You know those things, eh? You understand what I'm saying? Some of you, as if you don't live in this city. Eh? Somebody says, we have this business idea. Then you jump on it. And I'm a very passionate person. So we pursue the deal. We pursue the business idea. We go on. We push. 2 years later, it fails to work out. Then you painfully accept that it didn't work out. But you wasted 2 years. 2 years. And not only have you wasted 2 years, you've also, the passion that you started with, you cannot master it again. You know, every failure leaves you scarred somehow. You know, eh? If you pack a punch to punch somebody and the person dodges, you fall down. Because you are counting on some. So now every time you try something, try. One man, we tried business ideas. Huh? But when I tell you to pursue God's purpose for your life, you listen to what I'm telling you. Because you can waste years. You can waste years. You know, maybe some of you are still young. You have the luxury of wasting your year. But at my age, I don't have any luxury of what? Anything that I don't see God in it, I am not there at all. Because I went through that time of, you try, you know, pick a what, and you try everything. 1 year, 1.5 years. Then the guy comes and says, ah, man. Chiganye. But you wasted a year and a half there. 1 year, 1.5 years. And then when now you're about to recollect yourself and maybe by the grace of God try to gather your passion back, then he shows up with another idea. And now this one looks very good. He says, man, I know the other one. And because he's a nice guy, it's easy for him to sell to you that. Yeah. So, okay, the other one jammed. Eh? But let's try this one. And you're at crossroads. So you say, man, let's try this one. So you enter passion. Passion, wake up, go on, you know. Then you realize later, 1 year later, that one is also not going anywhere. So you have to cut your losses and move out. Sometimes you put in money, but most importantly, you put in time. And you put in passion, which is not easy to get back. So, then one day when I was going to one of those ideas of his, you know, would be in a place up to morning, all night, working. I have never been known to be such a hard worker. But somehow the devil can make you a hard worker when you're doing fake things. You understand? Like when you're doing fake things, the devil wants you to work hard. They work. So I would, there's a time I almost slept when I was driving. I'd promised to pick somebody from the airport. And I knew I was going to go, finish my work at this place, and go home and sleep. I left that place in the morning and I had to drive straight to the airport. So I drove to the airport, picked the person because I'd promised and I didn't want to bolt out. Then took him home. But when we were coming back, because we were talking, I could endorse. But now when I dropped him on home and I was going home, man, I noticed that I had actually slept. Then I heard somebody hooting and like in a dream, beep, beep. Then I wake up like this and I'm about to, and man, you're working hard over fake things, which something which is going nowhere. Now, one day when I was going there, I'll tell you this story because I want you to know that when you become a child of God, there is no such thing as coincidence in your life. Amen? Especially with the people. Somebody who shows up in your life is either for good or for bad. Either it's from the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. There are no in-betweens. Amen? There are no in-betweens at all. Now, I remember that time I was going to one of those places to work. He's one of that business idea he gave us. So I'm driving. It's morning. I'm sleep deprived. So I pass through. I'm passing by Lugogo. Then I get the mind. But before that, one day, somebody, actually Abraham, this one here, brought for me a book by some Ugandan author. And the book was God's Servants Also Make Mistakes. You remember that book? Now, I read the book. He had a good message. But you see, God can make you do things. I wonder why I was reading that book, because I hate reading mediocre books. But I read through that book, and somehow I saw the message. But I was like, if this guy had only got somebody to help him edit his book, it would have been a good book. Why didn't he get somebody? Because he had a good message, and so on and so forth. Now, when I was going, so I kept on thinking about that. Why don't Ugandan authors get editors? And somehow it became big in my mind, and it grew and became big. And I was wondering why. It became big, big, big. I became so passionate about editors. What? So I'm driving past Lugogo, and I just get the idea. Why don't I go and get a takeaway cappuccino from there? Since I'm sleep deprived anyway, I could use it. Then I head for that man's place who I learned later on was in my life to waste my time. And man, he did a good job. He did a really good job. So now, I branch there. And then, I meet a man of God. Now, when I meet the man of God, I'd attended his fellowship just once or twice. So I meet him, and he's seated in his car like this. So I meet him, I'm passing, going, and I pass right next to his window, and he's seated in his car. I don't know what he's doing. So I say, hey, hello, how are you? What? He says, I'm fine. Then the first thing he told me, you know, I've written a book. Then the first thing I said, give it to me and I edit it. Because I'd been thinking about that all the while. First thing I said, give it to me and I edit it. Then he laughed and said, hey, okay. We'll see about that. So I went inside to get my coffee. Now, when I went inside, I got my coffee. Then I was passing out and I came to as if say farewell to him. Then he told me, yeah, I think it's of the Lord. I will send somebody to give it to you and you edit it. Okay? Now, that person, of course, was Prophet Elvis. Now, I had not direct contact with him before. But then later on, he says that he was home. Now, of course, I wasn't at that level. I was still at the level of, you know, coincidence. Okay? Then he said he was home. You imagine this. He was home. And the Lord told him, drive and go to Lugogo. That place, I'm going to show you somebody who will edit your book. And the Lord puts it in my heart to go and get coffee. Do you see how God organizes everything? Where is the coincidence? There is no coincidence, you understand? Now I realize that from the time when this one gave me the book, when I became angry, it was all God setting me up for something. You understand? And now, of course, for me, I was still in the process of what? Coincidence. But for him, it was definitive. So when I told him, give him, Peter, edit it. He first kept it. When I went inside, the Lord told him, that's the person. Then when I came out, he said, okay, yeah, it's of the Lord. I'm going to. So when I that was about 20, what, 2011, 12, some 11, 10, 2010. Now when I got to know that, I realized even the thought to go and have coffee is put in you by the Lord. Can you imagine? And that's for everybody. So you know, there is no coincidence. You understand? And now everything that you see, watchman, what, all that, came from that meeting. Even this. You understand? From that chance meeting. So when you understand that there is no chance in, when somebody comes to you, you try to, you be gauging them. Where are they from? They are either from darkness or from light. No in-betweens. Some ladies need to hear this. Somebody comes and takes you 3 years and goes. Can you imagine? Time wasted. So when somebody comes into your life all the time, you try to be spiritually sensitive enough to realize where is this going? Where is this going? Because that, you imagine the coincidences God had to put together. The so-called coincidences God had to put together. And you see, sometimes I was reading some book by some guy who is writing about some guy, the book was called, I think, Angels on Assignment. And he had all these whatevers of angels. And you're saying that some guy who is, his relatives are praying for him to get born again. But he's stubborn, he doesn't want to get born again. And God puts up all sorts of coincidences. His car breaks down right before a church. And the only place he can get help is the church. So he goes inside and he has a word. There is no other, there are no circumstances other than that that would get him into a church. But because somebody is praying that, God, I want my relative born again, like God would manipulate circumstances. But that's supposed to be for children, not for adults. Amen? Adults, he tells you, go and do this. And I hope you are at that stage. Okay? Where you don't have, because you see a child is the one you have to pull, don't go there, don't do what? You see, when you're walking with a child in a supermarket, it runs, then you run and pull him back, then you run. Now that's how some Christians are. But of course, because the Lord is good, he does that. But he expects you to mature where now. He says, now go and do this. But imagine all this watchman is because of that chance meeting. So do not believe, do not fool yourself that there is any chance meeting in the life of a what? It's not there. There is none. None whatsoever. Somebody walks into your life and is either a solution to something or is a problem. So when I dreamt that thing that man was in my life to waste my time, I slowly cut. He was a difficult person to cut off because he was a very nice person. You know, sometimes bad people are easy to cut off. Because they easily stir up your emotions and you throw them out. But this is somebody who would never stir up your emotions in a negative way. But I slowly... Then you would come and say, now there's this idea. I say, no, I'm not going there. But it took a dream from the Lord to tell me that. And he had wasted three good years of my life. Man, that's a lot of time. Anyway, so what I'm saying is this. Now, when you get into this maturity, by the way, I wish people knew how much God manipulates circumstances to save. You remember there is this girl, you know her, she used to go to there are pieces down who knows who on these bombings in Lugogo. That Shadondo. World Cup final. She was born again and what, but you know, okay. Former Muslim, born again, but still she loved the world. She loved her life. So on this day, somebody calls and tells her, man, come here. I've reserved a seat for you, man. Beer is cheap. Everything is good. Come here, man. There is good chikoko here and what? So she gets her bag with some little transport. And goes to the stage to board a taxi to go to Chadondo. Now at the stage, as she was waiting for a taxi, a border guy came and snatched her bag and took it. It had her phone. It had her money. So very frustrated, she went back home. Now the person who was calling her was one of the pictures in the newspapers who died seated in his seat like this. And the empty seat she was supposed to occupy was right next there. But God even uses thieves. Because she went home very frustrated, very angry. You imagine how frustrated you'd be. You have planned out your evening. And then somehow a thief just messes you up, but he has saved your life. Anyway, but we have to grow up to the point where now we do not have to, we are not laid like with circumstances. Anyway, let me read one more scripture and then we. So, do not frustrate the grace of God by thinking small, by thinking narrow, by thinking safety, by thinking. We put ourselves in a lot of danger doing some of the things we do because we believe the Lord is what? With us. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, there would not have been a decree in Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word." Now, Nebuchadnezzar, his word was frustrated. Because these people said no. And now, he's now worshipping the God of these Hebrew slaves. Because they said no. Somebody has, there are things which, now imagine if they had just said, "Oange, let's be safe. Safety first." You know how Baroko these days would put it? "Omanye bito ino bite kamwa magezi." All these people would be fools. I would rather be a fool for Christ than being wise in those terms. Eh? Because there are things which people call wisdom which are foolish. And they call them wisdom. Now these people stand and say, "No, we shall not worship your God. Let it be known to you. Throw us in the fire, but we are not going to worship your God." And now it turns out that what? Now say, now he decrees. Eh? Go to the next verse. "Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach." Can you imagine? Before that, it was something else. But because somebody stands up, he says, "Now, if you dare say anything against Jehovah, you will see." And this is the man who was just a minute ago. So it takes somebody to stand up. And so people frustrate the grace of God by thinking small, by thinking very narrow, by listening to false teaching. And you see the scripture says, "The thief cometh not but what? Steal, kill, and what?" Who is the thief? Who is the thief? Who is the thief? Let's see what the Bible says. Go to John 10. Start from verse like 7. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly.'" Go ahead. "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd. Now you see, okay, the thief is the devil. But the thief is anybody who teaches you something which takes away from who you are. "All who came before me." He's talking about the Pharisees. Yes, the devil. But then he's also talking about these Pharisees who strip everybody. Strip everybody. Now, when he says the manifold wisdom of God, what is the manifold wisdom of God? That you are made righteous by Jesus Christ. Somebody comes and tells you, you're not righteous because you do this. That's the thief. Okay? Because unless you believe you're righteous, you will not do anything in the kingdom of God. You can't. You're stripped. Every time you stand up, you feel condemned. You understand? Eh? And that's how you frustrate. Go to the other scripture. Frustrate the grace of God. "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law or by the works of the law, then Christ died in vain." So in other words, if you dare believe that there is anything righteous in you outside of Jesus, you're frustrating the grace of God, because the devil would start from there. You don't pray enough, you pray too much. You eat a lot, you what? You do anything. You have to just sort the righteousness issue. It has nothing to do with me. That's the starting point. It is all about what Jesus did. Amen? And now my victory is not based on me. It is based on that thing, the devil. Now, the manifold wisdom. Then after that, after you've assured yourself that you're righteous, then now you know that nothing can stand in my way because I represent the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Now, even there, you unleash the manifold wisdom of God. Impose it in your workplace, in your business. You are in real estate. You know now, you know, so one of the things I tried is this real estate thing. Eh? Said, but whatever I didn't try. Eh? Praise the Lord. You listen to me and don't go through this. Of course, there are people who are, you know, supposed to do that. But my point is this. You go in real estate. Do you know people use a lot of witchcraft in that thing? Do you know that? Go and use the power of God. You will sell houses which people will even look for you. You can apply this anywhere. Anywhere. And you, the manifold wisdom of God is shown to those people in real estate that you use witchcraft. But people who want to, somebody wants to sell a house will come to Moa. And somebody who wants to buy it will come to who? And my phone, I will just be home and I make millions just sitting home. You can accomplish that. And then you make, then Jesus sees you and says, now this one knows. This one is imposing my victory on the other powers of darkness. Until they start asking you, how do you do it? Until people of darkness start asking you, where do you get your money? Eh? You have not yet imposed yourself. People have to start asking, where do you get your money? Where does your money come from? Then they say, you can't search the unsearchable riches of the unsearchable riches of Christ. There are things which you imagine you sit there, people are looking for properties to buy and sell. For you, just sit home and your phone is ringing. I want to buy, I want to sell. You want to buy? Okay, I have like 5 properties. I'm taking this one. Hey, my commission is this much. Bam, there. You chill. You think that's not possible? How are we going to demonstrate the power of God? The manifold wisdom of God. He says to that the church may demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God. The church, you. So you have to sit and he says, hey, now you are showing these demonic forces that I gave you my name. The name that is above every name. In everything. Praise the Lord. So, to the intent that, so everybody who comes and strips you, takes something away from you, starts telling you, we have to pray, the devil is going to do this. Don't listen to that talk. Every time somebody tells you the devil, I want you to imagine somebody on his knees on a roller, tied up like this, being taken through a city. That's the devil. That's what Jesus did to him. Amen? And that's what, don't think about him as some powerful. He's not. You just think of that and say, the devil, piece of cake. Actually, I would rather deal with him than with his servants. Because his servants, but even his servants, we have to give them chivok. The scripture says, the one I started with, which I'm going to end with, now darkness is what? Is passing away. And the true light of God is beginning to shine. Praise the Lord. That is what we are dealing with today. So, in everything that you do, and I pray you stand out there and go and do something. Just know what is behind you. What kingdom is behind you. Okay? Like David did. You come to me in the name of your gods, but I come to you in the name of Jehovah, the God of Israel, whose armies you have defied this day. Now imagine David saying that I am coming to face Goliath, but it's not me. It's the kingdom of God. It's behind me. So you think God can let his kingdom loose? So just make sure you are the representation of his kingdom. You come to me in the name of we have army. Eh? You understand? Eh? We have Maji. Who has more Maji? Me. Praise the Lord. You think I get scared of that? You know, let me end by telling you this story. One day, I was at office, the other office in Bugorobi. Not the one where we are, the old one. So some guy comes to me. I would sit there under a tree and people would come to see me. So this guy comes and I see him from a distance. And I know he has been sent. And I know he's come to spy on me and to all bullshit. So, don't worry, I use that language. Eh? Even when I'm preaching, you'll be fine. Eh? My righteousness is of the Lord. Eh? I do not frustrate the grace of God. Anyway, so I know he has come with all that rubbish. And so I see him from a distance and I know. Then he comes, he starts, and that's what they all do. He starts telling me these dreams. You know, I dreamt this, I dreamt that, I dreamt the other. I've been listening to your messages, which he had because he quoted some of them. But I know he's heading somewhere. Then he said, I want to join your ministry. So I asked him, what do you want to do? He says that he wanted to join the choir. I have never seen somebody talking choir who has such a rough voice. Like the guy could not sing to save his mother. But he wanted to join choir. So what I do is I tell him that, oh no, that's okay. I tell him, you go and see admin and she will find a place for you. She'll put a place for you. Then as soon as he stood up, I got on my phone and sent a message to admin and told her that guy is a spy. Find a way of getting rid of him. Now, because we have to be a man of God. So I told admin, that guy is a spy. Find a way of getting rid of him. Now she also did it very, very militarily. He said, what are you doing here? You finish seeing. Go, I want you. You come, come. She escorted him out of the gate and told him, go, get lost. So the guy vanished. But he continued coming for fellowship. Even when we'd be down there, I would say, this spy, and I would look at him, and then he's like, amen, amen. Then one day I was asking a question. Then I asked a question to somebody and said, you are the money man, eh? You tell us. By money man, I mean he's an accountant. But I think he thought that it might mean that they finally cracked the mystery of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Eh? So the guy turned to look who is the money man. Eh? So I said, okay. Now, so he kept on with his stupidity for some time, coming for fellowship, coming to see me, what. And then at some stage, I could no longer put on the man of God charade because I was so bored by him. Eh? So then one time he came after lockdown. And I noticed he had lost a lot of weight and he looked haggard. So I looked at him and now when he was coming again, I saw that he's a soldier. Then I told him that, you're a soldier? Then he said, no, I'm not. I said, but you're a soldier. I'm seeing it, you're a soldier. He said, anyway, I want to join. I'm just trying to join. So you know when you see something like that and somebody tells you that, he confuses you because you can see it in the future or you can see it in the presence. You understand? So when you're picking something prophetically and somebody, so he told me, no, I've been trying to join the army. Actually, I came here that you pray for me that I join the army. Then I said, okay, I've seen him in the army, in the spirit. He wants to join the army. Let me pray. But when I started praying, I felt so bad as if, you know, like I felt the prayer was a total waste of time. And so I just stopped halfway and said, anyway, you go. So the guy stood up, but you know they don't get offended, those spies, eh? Because they're on duty. If I did that to any of you who is not a spy, you would hate me. So the guy left. Now, 2 weeks later, the guy came in full SFC uniform. Full SFC uniform. Some people saw him at office because it was a Wednesday. So I was seeing people. Then I said, is anybody else left to see? Then they told me, yeah, there's some guy. For some reason, I felt in my spirit to go and see him from outside. Now, I step outside, then I see it's him. Now my spirit sinks. Then I say, oh, you come. Then guess what the guy did? The guy came walking on his knees. And I've never been so bored, I could throw up. The guy came walking on his knees. Then he reached me. Yeah. Then even kissed my feet. Man, spies do things, man. Imagine doing things like that when you don't mean it. Now, then he told me, you know, I came to tell you that this journey you're going on, you need an army. So I want us to recruit our own army that to fight Museveni. I laughed. I laughed. I told him, the people who sent you, don't they know that I'm a very wise person or what? Do they really think I'm that stupid? So I told him, those people who sent you, do they actually really think I'm Joseph Kabuleta, is that stupid? So I told him, now stand up, get out of here, never come back. The guy took off. Took off, and that's the last I saw of him. Can you imagine somebody coming and telling me that what? That we go and recruit our own guerrilla army. Eh? Stupid fools. Anyway. Now I'm thinking to myself at that time. I'm saying this, of course, for the benefit of his brothers who are here. That if you have to come up with some trick, you know the wisdom of God rests on me. Eh? At least think harder. Don't come up with very cheap traps. Eh? You can't catch a lion with a rat trap. Praise the Lord. I just told you that story to end properly. So that we go and have our tea properly. So now the guy has never come back. But he used to attend every fellowship. There, here, even down here, every fellowship. Just to come and then I was, man. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, now time for tea. But do not frustrate the grace of God. Not what? Hey, recruit my army. Do you know what kingdom I have behind me? Do you have more soldiers than they have? Are you kidding me? I don't need your those lousy SFC, whatever. Huh? So I told him, go and tell your boss that I'm not as foolish as... Okay, I almost said as him, but I said as that. Oh dear. One day my mouth will get me in trouble. It already did. So no problem. It might as well continue doing what? Getting me in trouble. Praise the Lord. But the grace, I represent a kingdom. And those people there, they are those second heaven clowns. Eh? For me, I was there when their master was being paraded in front of the streets. Amen? And after that, Jesus said, now, Kabuleta, I've given you my name. And everything I've done, I did it for who? For you. Now go and show them that you know who you are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for Great is the Father's love. Eh? What's that song? By Don Moen.
Think about His goodness. Think about His grace. Thus brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace. That's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great.
In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for your promotion. I thank you because you lift us up and you promote us. And you place us, each and every person, in that place where you want us to show your manifold wisdom to the principalities and to the powers and to all the people that serve the kingdom of darkness, that we shall demonstrate your victory on earth in every sphere of our lives, every sphere of our lives, in our financial lives, in our excellence in everything we do, we shall demonstrate your greatness and your victory over the kingdom of darkness in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. And now, there was somebody who was wants to quit a job because everything seems to be conspiring against you, and the Lord is saying, don't quit. Everybody is rising up against you for this reason, and you've convinced yourself that it is time for you to leave, but it is not yet. But you will leave, but not that way. You will leave victorious in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say, the victory of Jesus is my victory. And he has put me here to demonstrate that victory, to live that victory, to enjoy that victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.